The following content is not suitable for children.
So, school of love, baby. We got to help people check in on their current sexual situation and see kind of what's going. And we just want you to be with us as we kind of help you figure out how to talk to your partner about this, ask some good questions, and we'll do a little role play. Okay, G?
I'm showing up, Professor, nice and early. I'm ready for this episode, this class in the school of love.
Welcome to Foreplay Sex Therapy. I'm Dr. Lori Watson, your sex therapist.
And I'm George Fowler, your couples therapist.
We are here to talk about sex.
Our mission is to help couples talk about sex in ways that incorporate their body, their mind, and their hearts.
And we have a little bit of fun doing it, right, G?
Listen, and let's change some relationships.
So important. I mean, we've done now in our School of Love episodes, which we're trying to get through this year, recently an attachment history and an emotional history, and then also in a sexual attachment history. We've also talked a little bit about our own cultural history. And now we want people to assess for where they are at currently in their sexual relationship. And, you know, this can be a dicey conversation. We've said this before, but we'd like you to really prepare your partner so you don't spring it on them. You know, pick a good time, maybe Saturday morning at the coffee shop or a picnic or something, so that you have some privacy, but your partner is ready for this conversation.
Exactly. And I think we're going to go over some of the basic four questions that we want you to talk about. But before you can even introduce those questions, you got to introduce the topic, right? Hey, can we talk about our love life, or can we talk about sex? Or like, it's really just bringing it up and trying to schedule a conversation, I think, could be the hardest part for most couples. What do you think, Lori?
I just want to ask, would you say love life? Is that really how you would say it?
I do. Some people that are really super conservative couples, like, I will say love life. Or
To them. But when you talk about it yourself, you'd say love life. Sweetheart, are we going to talk about our love life now?
You know, it's funny. I think love life makes it easier than sex. It's like sometimes sex just comes across, especially if you're the male pursuer sexually, and you want to talk about sex. It's like your partner's brain's already like, here we go again. Like, yeah, you want to have more sex. Right? It's like, you know, so I think when you say love life, it just kind of expands the frame a little bit more. You're recognizing this is part of your love life. This conversation is not just about sex. It's about kind of how I connect and what makes me feel safe and how do I make you feel safe. And I recognize you need a lot of other things. And it's a bigger context when I use that word.
Okay. Well, I like that. And you know, I tease you because sometimes this grown up in Queens man uses kind of poetic language. So
I don't know, how do you bring it up?
Well, I think I would probably say I want to talk about, you know, how we're doing sexually. And I would say sex. I wouldn't say our love life or anything like that. I would be more direct about saying the word sex. But, you know, I talk about sex all day long, so, and I am pretty direct.
A lot of times, you know, with couples too, I'm going to use the word intimacy. Because intimacy is a nice, big concept that includes sex and the romantic part of it, right? That both are really relevant, the emotional cycle and the sexual cycle. But a lot of times people then like, what do you mean by intimacy? And one person's, you mean sex, and the other person's, no, you mean like how we connect.
Closeness.
But it's a good way of starting the conversation. So your partner, and usually the person who's bringing this up is the person more motivated to change it and talk about it, probably more likely the sexual pursuers we'll talk about. But you really want to buy in of the sexual withdrawal to have this conversation. So what words would feel safe for them to not feel too pressured to, like, here we go again, another conversation where I'm going to be told I'm doing it wrong, right? I want this to feel as an invitation, not an accusation. Mm-hmm. I think that's the key towards starting this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And I agree with you. If you are traditionally the pursuer and you know the language that's going to make your partner feel safe, absolutely use that for sure. You want to win. So that's a good thing. Good word.
And I think it reminds you of seeing the bigger picture, because we can get so tunnel vision our own needs that, you know, I really want to talk about sex because that's what I need more of. But if I come at it through that doorway, I'm probably going to run into the defense with my partner. Mm-hmm. So if I can change my own language, it reminds me, hey, wait a second, this is really a check-in. All couples should do this, not just when they're in bad states. Celebrate when you're in good states, but just build into your relationship, you know, steady doses of just talking about your relationship. We're really trying to maximize and prioritize the importance of this sexual bond. It's healthy to want to keep kind of checking in on it. You know, yeah. And I think that's a mistake people make. They only want to bring up sex when there's problems. Right? No, let's bring in. How cool would it be for a sexual pursuer to say, hey, you know, I want to talk about sex, just like we've been on a roll. I mean, you are amazing. It is, I didn't think it could be so good. I bet you they'd want to have more of those conversations.
They would definitely want to have more of those conversations, for sure. So when we talk about it with our partner, I mean, I think most people actually begin with like how much sex they're having. Don't you think? Like, that's kind of a barometer of, or a measurement of how they're doing, like how often we're having sex. You know, with my clients, that's the number one thing I hear about is we're not having sex often enough, or there's not enough of it, or there's too much of it, right? We're having sex like so much twice a week. We're having sex like not enough, like twice a week only, right?
So that's going to be the first question that we want, you know, partners to ask each other. How are they with the frequency? And it's typical, like that discrepancy where one wants it more or less is like most couples have a disagreement over the frequency, but at least we're kind of dealing with it, like, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so do a demo. How would you begin this conversation with a partner?
Well, we already started off with, hey, can we take a couple of minutes to just check in, see how we're doing in, you know, the lovemaking department, right? And you're okay with that?
Sure, we could do that.
All right. Well, it has been pretty good lately, so I just want to celebrate that. So we started off with, on a good, nice, secure place. And, you know, maybe you say, I was listening to this foreplay radio, and they said, you know, couples, as part of the check-in, should talk about four questions. So the first one they said is like, how good are you with the amount of sex that we're having? Do you want more? Do you want less? Is it just right? It's like the porridge and the three bears. Like, how are you doing with it?
Goldilocks sex.
Goldilocks.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Well, actually, I think I could stand more sex. I think sometimes it's, you know, the buildup and all that, you know, it, trying to get it all just right is too much for me. But I like having sex. It makes me feel connected. I wouldn't mind more quickies when you want it. You don't seem to do that much. And, you know, I think you're so cautious with me. You know, this is my guess. So I just like it because it makes me feel connected. It doesn't always have to be a big deal. I don't always have to come. I don't, you know, so I probably don't need a whole lot more, but I would kind of like it. You know, I would just feel more connected physically. It would remind me. And I think for me, you know, the times that I really do want to open up and have sex, if we've had a couple of quickies in between, I feel much less anxious about really opening up, less anxious about getting naked, all of that. So how does that grab you?
A bit surprised. I was expecting like you were okay with it, or, you know, even a little, you wanted it a little less. So, I mean, I kind of agree. I think a lot of times I'm hesitant and cautious, and I'm like, oh, she's probably not in the mood, maybe tomorrow. And I probably push it out more than I would rather push it out. But I'm interested in you kind of wanting more of it. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm not in the mood, but the ask is nice. And I think I know that there are times that you really want me to be in the mood and to bring that and all of that. And that's good. I want to do that too with you, for you. But I also would like it to be less freighted, you know, less heaviness around it. I want it to be light. I want to just
Let's pause. Do it. Let's pause here because we're slipping into the second question.
Oh, right? Well, I just can't stop. You know, I just can't stop.
It's such a withdrawal to open up, and she don't want to stop talking about it, right? But it's normal that a lot of times the first question, the frequency, leads to the second, which is the quality. Like, how satisfied with the sex that you're having? And Laura's just naturally doing that, right? She's talking about not wanting this pressure to have more fun, you know, have more quickies, like mix it up a little bit. Like, the quality has gotten a bit stale and predictable, right? And a lot of couples fall into these patterns. So, you know, that quality is important. This isn't a critique of your partner. It's just saying kind of like, where are we at? If we got like both of us really satisfied, we're probably in a really good place. Celebrate that. If we're not, we have good reasons. And this is a chance to try to free some of that up, do some little things to kind of give us some movement, some freedom in that area.
Oh, yeah. And I would say, you know, really great, George, that you broke that down so that our listeners can hear that. But, you know, if you do kind of get stuck, we want you to start with frequency and then maybe move into quality. But if your sexual withdrawer moves naturally into quality, don't go, wait. I need to ask the second question. Just let it roll, right?
Let it roll. They're talking about wanting more of it. That's the worst time to interrupt it.
Don't interrupt that.
The numbers.
Too many.
Good point. And that quality part is really the heart of this conversation, because, you know, most people don't want to be criticized and want to protect their partner and protect themselves, but then they just don't engage. They just don't give the information that's so important to people shifting and growing sexually. I mean, we're not the same person forever. I mean, we need feedback. We know the most successful people embrace feedback and keep adjusting to feedback. Why would it be any different in a bedroom? We're trying to create an environment that welcomes feedback. We're changing. Our bodies are changing. We're growing. Like, we need to constantly kind of adjust. That's not a sign of weakness or failure. That's a sign of absolute strength.
Yeah. And I love the energy, right? Let's have that conversation. Let's have more of those conversations. And I'm pretty easy with that conversation. I can imagine that that energy might be a little difficult for a sexual withdrawer who feels like there's pressure. So again, we want you to make it soft enough and say, hey, you know, maybe for your withdrawer, it's like, hey, we only have to have this conversation twice a year, but I'd love a spring check-in and a fall check-in. And that makes me feel like we're thinking about it. Or, you know, so you can maybe offer to your sexual withdrawer kind of enough space for them so that they don't feel like they're always going to be hit with this every month or something. You know, just another way to think about it.
All right. I like that thinking about it. Well, let's come back and then get into the practice, me and you, Lori.
Okay. Addie. Ladies, did you know that one of the most common complaints from women about their sexual health is a frustrating low libido? Our sex drives can decline, but it's also treatable. Addy, or flibanserin, is FDA approved and has been clinically proven to increase sexual desire in certain premenopausal women who are bothered by a low libido. So if you feel like you've lost your desire and you want to get it back, stop falling for the snake oils and ask your doctor about Addy today. Go to Addy.com. That's ADDYI.
Addy is for premenopausal women with acquired generalized hypoactive sexual desire disorder, HSDD, who have not had problems with low sexual desire in the past, who have low sexual desire no matter the type of sexual activity, the situation, or the sexual partner. The low sexual desire is troubling to them and is not due to a medical or mental health problem, problems in the relationship, or medicine or other drug use. Addy is not for use in men or to enhance sexual performance. Your risk of severe low blood pressure and fainting is increased if you drink 1 to 2 standard alcoholic drinks close in time to your Addy dose. Wait at least 2 hours after drinking before taking Addy at bedtime. Your risk of severe low blood pressure and fainting is also increased if you take certain prescriptions, over-the-counter or herbal medications, or have liver problems. Low blood pressure and fainting can happen when you take Addy even if you don't drink alcohol or take other medicines. Do not take if you are allergic to any of the ingredients in Addy. Allergic reactions may include hives, itching, or trouble breathing. Sleepiness, sometimes serious, can occur. Common side effects include dizziness, nausea, tiredness, difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, and dry mouth. See full PI and medication guide, including box warning, at Addy.com/PI or call 844-PINK-PILL.
Go to Addy.com and use the code FOREPLAY for a $10 telemedicine appointment to find out if Addy is right for you. Oh, love is in the air. Spring is here. It's warm. Y'all, Foria massage oil is designed to help you get in the mood. I'm serious. Foreplay massage oil, awaken arousal oil, and sex oil can make you feel the things that you used to feel. Remember that first touch when your lover touched you? Maybe it was just your hand. Maybe it was the first kiss. Foria's intimacy massage oil. It takes your partner in intimacy to the next level with quick absorbing, desire enhancing, all natural moisture. Also, their Awaken Oil. Imagine the best orgasm or sex you've ever had and now think that it could be even better. Arousal Oil, it's like a juicy warm-up. It helps you get turned on. It kind of deepens your sensations because they use CBD oil and it's a warming, sensation-inducing organic botanicals that kind of help you get aroused more easily. Foria Awaken is proven to work, and that's based on a consumer perception study conducted by Citrus Labs. 92% felt more aroused and 92% reached orgasm. I fully endorse you to go ahead and treat yourself and your partner this spring. Foria is also offering a special deal for our Foreplay fam. Get 20% off your first order by visiting foriawellness.com/foreplay or use the code foreplay at checkout. That's foriawellness.com/foreplay with 20% off your first order. I recommend using their new massage oil combined with their Awaken Arousal Oil. You'll thank me later. So let's say now we're practicing role playing and I'm going to ask my buddy Joey, my partner Joey, I'm going to be Janie, you know, how he feels about the quality of the sex. And I'm just going to pretend I am a little anxious. I am a sexual withdrawer and I'm going to play that part. So I'm concerned, like I really want to hear, you know, I have an agenda. I want to hear that I'm okay, that he's happy, but maybe he's not. And I don't know where he's at, but I, you know, let's see where this goes. So Joey, I appreciate you bringing up this conversation. You know, I appreciate your drive. It really keeps us connected sexually. But I am a little curious, like, you know, how is it for you? Are you happy with what we do in bed and how it goes? Are you happy with kind of the, like how it feels when we make love? What are you feeling about that?
I mean, I think overall I'm happy. I'm still very attracted to you. You know, I think I think for me the most important thing. I mean, I think I get frustrated at times because, you know, you're not in a mood and like sometimes I know I bring pressure into the bedroom and I know that does things, but you know, I would like to see us kind of have a little bit more fun and mix it up and do some things differently. I think that would be cool. But I think overall I'm really happy with our sex life.
That's good to hear. So you're really happy with our sex life. You're attracted to me. And you would like a little mixing it up, a little bit more variety. Is that what you're saying? Like doing different things when we're actually doing it?
Yeah. I mean, you were talking earlier. I mean, I like a quickie sometimes too. And then I like some date nights where it could be a little bit more planned and just kind of, we could role play or do some fun things that we normally don't do. It seems like, you know, we just never really have enough time to kind of play or do anything different. It's like we fall into these kind of just same pattern all the time.
Yeah. So, okay. So I want to make sure I'm hearing you. So you like my idea about quickies and no pressure kinds of moments just to stay connected. You also would like sort of those date night, more romantic times where we try something maybe a little more daring, maybe role play, yeah, like imagining things, doing different things. Could you tell me like, you don't have to tell me this, Joey, right now, but I would probably want to take that conversation into that direction so that I know exactly what he means. Because I'm assessing my own level of kind of risk and my own level of commitment here to what he's interested in. And so that would be my next question in terms of the quality, like, okay, I don't know if you'd feel comfortable, but could you kind of name some of those things so that I know what you're thinking about? And then I'll react to them and tell you kind of how I feel about that.
Right. Anyway, sexual withdrawal is engaging here and showing curiosity. We want to give as much space as possible. But for some of you, the sexual withdrawal is just going to be like, oh, that's good, and not want to engage a lot in this conversation. And some people are going to, the quality isn't great, and they're going to have to deal with sharing the struggles of that. And, you know, that, so this conversation can go a lot of different directions, but you're starting the process. You're putting things on the table to start really trying to have a more thorough assessment of where you need to go. So how would you answer that question? So now...
Okay, wait. I want to just say one part here too as well. I want people to listen. One of the things that I do consistently is I repeat back what he's saying. So that helps organize his thinking. It helps organize my mind. It keeps the conversation slow enough so that I don't get escalated. So I know what we're talking about. Like, and I'm kind of saying, yeah, we agree here. We agree here. This little piece here, I don't know if we agree because I really don't know what it is. And so then I'm going to need more. And you can see kind of even the sexual pursuer, he's suggesting things. Oh, I want a little variety. I want a little role play. But he's not really saying yet what he wants. So I know sexual pursuers, right, that they're reluctant to put forward their own fantasies and thoughts sometimes because they don't want to trigger their partner, you know. So, but we got to kind of go there so that the partner does know how, you know, how to react to it. And it's safer to do it in a conversation than it is to do it probably a moment in bed where you could blow the whole sexual moment, don't you think?
Absolutely. And okay. We're going to go over in the next episode how to get more detailed and specific, right?
Okay.
Right now, we're just trying to, if you're willing to go into more specifics on what would make the quality better, that's going to lead us into the next one, the motivation. But I want to know, like, so if I bring that up to you, all right, thank you. If, you know, I am overall satisfied. How about you? I mean, how good are you with our sex life?
Yeah. I like a lot of things. Still attracted to you too. I'm attracted on many levels, like your mind, your body, the way you smell, the way you move, all of that is really good for me. So I never want you to worry about that when I say no, that I'm not interested. It's not you.
I somehow want to stop talking. Let's just get to action. This sounds good to me.
Joey, hold on to yourself. Jaminis. Okay, so I think quality. So first of all, you know, I'm a sexual withdrawer, right? And most sexual withdrawers don't quantify and qualify things. That's so just not how their brain thinks. So I don't think a lot about how to make it better. I don't think a lot about whether or not it's good or not. I kind of enjoy it in the moment. But if you're asking me maybe more what I want, I mean, I think when you describe those date night moments that are romantic and we have time, like for me, when I have your attention all evening and we go out for a couple of drinks and we have dinner and we're laughing together and, you know, then I just feel this bond between us and it makes sex flow really well out of that. So I like those times a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't have to have them every single time, but I'm a woman. I imagine romantic things. You know, I imagine instead of going home, you say, hey, we got a hotel reservation instead or something that gives us even more space away from the children and all of that. Or I imagine some setup sometimes that, you know, we come home, light candles, draw a bath, get in the bath together. Then we come out and we're warm and, you know, maybe had wine in the bath or something and a little drunk. And then we have wild sex or something. That to me is kind of my fantasy of where it goes.
That sounds pretty good to me. So you can see, Lori, as Janie gets into that curiosity around quality that she might not talk often about as a sexual withdrawer, it leads us to the third question. And we recognize these questions bleed into each other, like the frequency, the quality. The third one is your motivation. Like, are you motivated to change or to work on anything? Right. Mm-hmm. So you can see as she's talking about the quality and kind of what she's wanting. When you're talking about wants and longings, that's going into the motivation. Some people are so blocked because of the pressure and negativity, it's hard for them to access that. They just don't want to fight. They just don't want it to end badly. It's harder for them to put words to it. But when you could put, both people can put words to what they want, it's a lot easier to start hitting those targets.
Exactly. So I think
both of us were saying that in the quality, that it's good, but there are things we'd want better. What we want better is a kind of that motivation for change. So we're both wanting a little bit more kind of romance, a little bit more date night, longer fun, a little bit more experimentation, a little bit more quickies, like just mixing it up instead of the same routine that we're kind of following.
So how would you ask a question about, are you motivated? You're assessing, trying to figure out, is the person flexible and willing to change and motivated to kind of work on this? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So I think in our conversation, I would be, you know, this is kind of exciting for me that, you know, that you're engaging. You know, you want more sex. You would want the quality be better. It seems to me that you're motivated. It often feels like you're not because I'm the one pushing this all the time. But I mean, I guess what I'm hearing, correct me if I'm wrong, that like you do want things to change a little bit or to be better. That's something that's important to you. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, I'm not wildly critical of what we've got, but I could certainly see room for us to make it even better. So yeah, I like that. Maybe what you're asking is like, am I motivated to tell you what I want so that you can make those adjustments? And that's kind of a hard place for me.
Yeah.
Like to bring it up and to talk about it. I certainly don't want you to feel criticized. And I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I kind of think about things and stuff. I guess what you're saying is, would I be motivated enough to tell you about those things? I don't understand motivation. Help me understand that.
Again, it's just a willingness to want things to change instead of a reluctance to want to have conversations or to kind of look or face some of these things. Right. So I'm picking up your openness. I mean, this leads us to the last one, which is like, can you see the bigger picture of the cycle that's developing between people sexually? Like I'm in the role of the person who's pushing and always initiating. I push for sexual contact. I push to talk about sex. You're often in the role of that withdrawer that, you know, doesn't have the desire because you're more receptive. And, you know, oftentimes you're put in a position of having sex that even if you're not in a mood to have sex, right? And that that does something over time that creates these cycles. So really trying to get a couple in that first assessment to try to name that cycle. Like what position do both of them take and start to see the bigger picture? Like that cycle has a life of its own. It's bigger than just, you know, Lori not wanting to have sex or me pushing to have sex, right? It creates a bigger feedback loop that we're really trying to help couples start to explain that cycle when it's not working instead of blaming each other. So that's the last question. Really trying to say, you know, I'm starting to see my part, Lori, in the pressure I bring to you, you know, when I push. It's not as simple as I just want to have sex. I express it in a way that's, you know, put you in a tough spot. And I really want to work on that, right? I want to invite you instead of kind of pressuring you.
Janie.
And that's where I want to learn how to do better.
Janie. You said Lori. So yeah, I mean, sometimes there's pressure on me. I think that my withdrawal, what I'm hearing today, is that you want my ideas. And so if I gave you my ideas, that would be a way for me to sort of come forward a little bit, just like I did today, telling you even the little bit that I told you is good. And I think I don't think to do that, but it sounds like that would make you happy and that would kind of loosen things up for you as the pursuer, always feeling the burden to push us. Am I right about that?
Yes. Even if we don't have sex, I feel like if we're talking about it, we're still understanding it. We're still figuring out what we need to do differently. Like we're still kind of making progress. When we can't even talk about it and we're not having sex, that's where I start to feel hopeless. And then I know when I'm in that place, I'm sending some really bad signals to you. And then like we're sinking. And it is helpful for me now to start seeing that cycle. Maybe we should come up with a name for it, like when it starts to take us over. What do you think, Lori?
Yeah. I like that. You got any good names for this?
It feels like the deathbed.
The death what?
the deathbed. It feels like that's what happens to us. Like, I don't know if that's too gloomy, but that's what it feels like to me.
Okay, yeah. And it's important for me to hear just how, like, you know, wow, that's a really big term, you know. And I guess as we've been talking, I haven't quite felt it as much as a deathbed, but you do. And so that's good for me to hear that kind of label for you is good. So I appreciate that. I just want you to know I'm willing to work on this deathbed with you so that we don't go there. So it doesn't, right. we don't want to die in our sex that's life. It. I don't want to die with you.
We're okay. Pulling out of this. This is good. Again, we're just trying to help couples start this conversation. We want to thank Sue Johnson and Mike Moran because these four questions are based on their simple assessment. Those basic four questions, you know, how often, what's the frequency, what's the quality of the sex that you're having? Are you motivated to work on it? And what's these cycles of patterns that you kind of fall in when it's working or not working? That bigger picture really helps people start working together instead of just kind of blaming their partner.
Right. And in functioning together, we're asking you to sort of have a conversation that takes a snapshot of the two of you right now in your sex life. And we wanted just to give you these tools to do it on. So thanks for listening.
Keep it hot, y'all.
Okay. So tell us about your cutting edge training that you're doing on success and vulnerability.
Lori, we just keep pushing it, coming up with a new module on the playbook of a pursuer, playbook of a withdrawer, really practical moment by moment moves of what a therapist can use. You know, we're so focused on what's happening in session. Enough of this talk about theories and these global things. I think most therapists are looking for, what do I do in this moment? Give me a tool, George. So that's what we're trying to do.
That's awesome. I am so glad you guys are doing this work. I think it helps us be organized to see you do it. You do demos, you do explanations, teaching. It really is interactive. And I think that so many trainings that we sit through don't give us an opportunity for that. So what you're doing is really important.
No, we try to emphasize the teach it, show it, do it model of learning. You need to have some ideas, so we try to teach those. And then we try to show what it looks like implementing those ideas. But most importantly, you now got to practice it. That's how they become yours. And that's what we want our listeners and watchers to do, is become their own moves.
Find George and his teaching at successandvulnerability.com.
Call in your questions to the 4Play question voicemail. Dial 833-MY-4Play. That's 833-MY-4Play. And we'll use the questions for our mailbag episodes. All content is for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for therapy by a licensed clinician or as medical advice from a doctor. This podcast is copyrighted by 4Play Media.